Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live on the internet from London. This broadcast is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we'll start a series of radio programs entitled The Prince of the Power of the Air. We'll discuss more about these broadcasts after we've heard some music. Thank you. Prince of the Power of the Air. We start part one of this series of programs tonight with answers from the Bible. Tonight, we will be looking at who is the Prince of the Power of the Air? Why does the Bible use this name? What role does the weather have in satanic worship? Why does God allow people to be destroyed through disasters? And what lessons can we learn from this all today? With the world shocked at the recent Category 5 hurricane in the Caribbean, which has devastated the islands of Jamaica and Cuba and Haiti, with the increasing global trend of destructive hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and floodings, many people ask, why does the loving God allow such suffering like this? Listen on as we study the Bible and discover the answer to this and other questions about disasters over the next few weeks. So let us now pray before we begin our study this week, listeners. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the internet from London. Lord, as we study your word, we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us and to teach us those things in your word that we need to know in order for us to be saved in your eternal kingdom is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Prince of the Power of the Air, Part 1. Now, who is the Prince of the Power of the Air? We read in John chapter 12, verses 31 to 32. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, Jesus says, will draw all men unto me. We read in Mark chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan is called many names in the Bible, such as the prince of this world, Beelzebub, the prince of devils, and the prince of the power of the air. He is also called the serpent, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the deceiver, Revelation 20, verse 3, a liar, John chapter 8, verse 44, and the accuser of the brethren, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the prince of darkness, and the god of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. From the periodical The Signs of the Times, in an article called Satan's Devices, written by Mrs. E.G. White, dated May 1884, from paragraphs 1 to 2, we read, the great controversy between Christ and Satan that has been carried on for almost 6,000 years is soon to close. And yet how few have their attention called to this matter? How few realize that we are living amid the closing scenes of Earth's history? Satan is working diligently, binding his sheaves preparatory to gathering in his harvest. He is uniting the elements of his kingdom for the final struggle. This fallen spirit, so malignant and subtle, is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When there is no special effort made to resist his power, when profound indifference prevails in the church and in the world, he is not concerned, for he is in no danger of losing those whom he is leading captive at his will. But when the attention is called to eternal things, and souls are inquiring, what shall I do to be saved? He is on the ground, seeking to match his power against the power of Christ, and doubling his efforts to counteract the influences of the Holy Spirit. Angels of God, with Jesus at their head, are present to press back the powers of darkness. But no one is forced to accept Jesus, and no one can be compelled by Satan's power to reject him. So, listeners, the prince of the power of the air is another name for Satan. Now, why does the Bible use this name? Let us read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 again. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now the word air, A-I-R, in this verse, is from the Hebrew word air, from emni, to breathe unconsciously, I respire, by analogy, to blow. Air, as naturally circumambient. And you can see number 109 in the Hebrew dictionary of Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Now, to be circumambient means encompassing all sides or on all sides or surrounding. And so why is Satan called the prince of the power of the air? Why is Satan called the prince of the power of the circumambient or the surrounding area? We can learn the reason by studying what Satan has always claimed ever since he was cast out to this earth from heaven. Let us look at what power Satan claimed to have when he met his creator, Jesus Christ, in the wilderness. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. Again, the devil taketh him, that's Jesus, up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan claimed that he owned all the kingdoms of this world. Here we have the reason why he is called the prince of the power of the air. He claims to own the whole earth and all the atmosphere that surrounds it. But he is a liar and deceiver and does not own this planet. The Lord Jesus Christ does, which is why Jesus told Satan to get away from him. Satan, as the creature, is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, his creator, not the other way round. Let us look more about this encounter, listeners, between the Almighty Creator God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and the rebel creature, the mighty fallen angel, Satan. From First Selected Messages, page 286, written by Mrs. E.G. White, we read, Satan knew that Christ's life must be one of sorrow, hardship, and conflict, and he thought he could take advantage of this fact to bribe Christ to yield his integrity. Satan brought all his strength to bear upon this last temptation, for this last effort was to decide his destiny as to who should be victor. He claimed the world as his dominion, and he was the prince of the power of the air. He bore Jesus to the top of an exceeding high mountain, and then, in a panoramic view, presented before him all the kingdoms of the world that had been so long under his dominion, and offered them to him in one great gift. He told Christ he could come into possession of the kingdoms of the world without suffering or peril on his part. Satan promises to yield his scepter and dominion, and Christ shall be rightful ruler for one favor from him. All he requires in return for making over to him the kingdoms of the world that they presented before him is that Christ shall do him homage as to a superior. The eye of Jesus for a moment rested upon the glory presented before him, but he turned away and refused to look upon the entrancing spectacle. He would not endanger his steadfast integrity by dallying with the tempter. When Satan solicited homage, Christ's divine indignation was aroused, and he could no longer tolerate the blasphemous assumption of Satan or even permit him to remain in his presence. Here, Christ exercised his divine authority and commanded Satan to desist. "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. And so we see, listeners, that all that Satan desires is worship. Satan even had the audacity to ask his creator to bow down to him and to acknowledge him, Satan, the creature, as being superior. We truly thank the Lord Jesus Christ for not submitting to this request, even in his severely weakened physical state after the long fast in the wilderness. Christ told Satan to get away from him. Now let us also read two sections from the book called The Story of the Seal of Patmos by Stephen Haskell. From page 268, the first section we read, "The elements of the earth are under the control of mighty angels, and although Satan, the prince of the power of the air, has had partial control of these mighty forces, yet the power of God has held them in check, else destruction would have come and man would have been destroyed." Listeners, it is a well-known fact that God has allowed Satan to have partial control of the elements of the earth. He has had this ability to do so for millenniums. We shall be looking more into this in a moment, but let us now read from page 326 from the same book by Stephen Haskell. "Cast out from the presence of God, Satan was allowed to make the earth the seat of his power, that God might vindicate his law and his government in the sight of all universe. The devil, therefore, became the prince of the earth and the air, and as the prince of the earth, he met with the representatives of other worlds before the gate of heaven. Year after year, he stood in that assembly as the accuser of Christ and the brethren. He still basely accused God of injustice and laid upon him the blame of the rebellion. On earth, he was exerting every effort to establish a government that would not be overthrown. In the council, he was striving to prove that his lack of success was due to interference with his plans by the God of heaven. In the fullness of time, the Prince of Peace came to the earth. In the heart of the government of the enemy, he lived a sinless life. The will of God was done by him as it is constantly done in heaven. But the sinless one was slain. The cross was the reward of virtue when Satan meted out the judgment. Unfallen worlds watched and wondered. And as Christ hung upon the cross, the assembly at the gate of heaven decided that Satan should no longer enter there. 'It is finished,' the Savior cried as his gaze pierced the gloom. 'Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.' And seeing the triumph of the cross, he said, 'I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.' And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.' Thus Satan at the crucifixion was shut out of the council of worlds. Christ said, 'I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.' This was his second casting down." So we see, listeners, that God has given Satan chance after chance in order to show the universe the type of person that Satan really is. Being shut out from the council of other worlds as they saw Satan at the crucifixion as the evil being that he really is, Satan now is seeking to do all that he can to destroy human beings before his own final destruction. Now, what role does the weather have in satanic worship? We read in Job chapter 1, verses 7 to 12, and verses 16 to 22. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and have burnt up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And, behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We see from the scriptural record that Satan has power to send lightning down from the sky to the earth to destroy animals and people. We also see that he has power to send wind to destroy people and property. Notice, listeners, that it was only when God had temporarily taken his protective care away from Job's property that Satan was allowed to exercise his destructive power upon it. Please also note, listeners, that though Satan asked God to touch what Job had, God said to Satan to exercise his power on Job's possessions. Thus, the Lord gave Satan a chance to show what he does when he has power over people's lives. We see that Satan uses the power that he has over the elements to destroy property and people, and not to save them. So we see that using the elements to destroy men and all of their properties and possessions is a principle of satanic religion and satanic worship. It is the principle by which the head of satanic worship, Satan himself, ever lives by. We will have a break and continue with our study afterwards.
Voice in the Wilderness is a gospel ministry that was established in 1992. From small meetings of prayer and Bible studies, it grew into a national outreach resource and has since grown over the years into an international ministry that not only carries out evangelistic work through books and tracts and videos, but we also conduct prophecy seminars, health talks, religious liberty meetings, and carry out publishing work. Today, utilizing the latest electronic and printed media, our work has expanded and spread abroad around the world. In Africa, North, South, and Central America, Australia, the Caribbean, and Europe. We are a non-profit organization, and our work is supported by the prayers and goodwill of the people. If you would like to join our mailing list or offer prayers or give financial support, please contact inquiries at wildernesspublications.org, or you can call 440-7962-388-445 for more information. Visit our online bookstore at www.wildernesspublications.org Visit our radio station website at www.vitwradio.org. May the Lord richly bless you as you continue to listen to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio.
The second example that we will give tonight about how weather is used in satanic worship is taken from Elijah's challenge at Mount Carmel. We read in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 19 to 24. This is Elijah speaking. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to call upon the name of their gods. He told them that the God that answered by fire or lightning, let him be God. Elijah would not have given this challenge if the prophets of Baal had not brought down lightning before. But, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Elijah knew that Christ was infinitely more powerful than Satan, the god the pagan priests worshipped under the name of Baal. This challenge was given to show the children of Israel that Christ, the true creator God, is more powerful than Baal, the heathen nature god that they were worshipping. And so we see the biblical testimony that associated with pagan worship is the ability of the priests of pagan worship to call on Satan to bring down lightning from the sky to the earth. Let us now listen to Mel Vance as he gives us more information about how power over the lightning bolt is associated with pagan worship.
Now Satan in this world is attempting to destroy the human race. Just as he succeeded in destroying this family, he's attempting to destroy all of us. And I want you to know that there are only two religions in the world. There's the worship of God, and there's the worship of Satan. And Satan is the god of this world. Satan craves worship. The reason why he revolted from heaven in the first place is because he wanted to be a creator so people would worship him. He wanted to be the one who was the creator of the people of the world. And it was his jealousy over Christ as the Creator that caused him to revolt from heaven. He has ever sought to get the worship of mankind. The first thing that he did, of course, was with Adam and Eve. He got them to sell out to him. They said to God, in effect, when God reserved that one tree, they said to God, Well, God, we don't want you and your program. You can't tell us what to do and what not to do. We're going to do as we please. So they went and took of the fruit of the tree. It was rebellion against God and a turning to Satan, because he to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. And it was open rebellion between man and God that caused them to turn to Satan and accept him as their God. What was the first thing almost that Satan tried to do when he got Christ in his power? He took him up to a high mountain and he says, Now all these things I'll just give you if you'll just fall down and worship me. He craves that worship. Now, as a result of my study, I've been simply amazed to discover that all the gods of paganism, without exception, are representatives of Satan. That isn't just something you read in the Bible or the Spirit of Prophecy. Just go into the study and you'll find out that it's true. The Babylonians worship the sun god. Everybody knows that. In fact, the whole system almost revolves around and the worship of the sun and the moon and the stars. They worship the sun god. But you know the chief title of the sun god in Babylon was Enlil? Bel was his common name, but his chief descriptive title was Enlil. Look that word up in the Unabridged Dictionary, Webster's. The Lord of Demons, or the chief demon. Now, they represented the sun god in Babylon and in all the nations since Babylon, over in India and China and Japan and Tibet, all those nations to this day. They still worship the sun god as a bull. They said that the sun god is the god who takes the moisture and drops the moisture down upon the earth, and that fertilizes the seed of the earth and causes the mother earth to produce life, produce food for us. Therefore, the sun god is the great generator. And so he's called the great generator, the heavenly bull, over and over again in the Babylonian text. Now, they pictured the sun god as a bull god standing on his hind feet with his hoofs and his horns and his tail and with a man's face and a three-pronged lightning bolt in his fist. And I have dozens of pictures to show this. So when they were worshiping the sun god under the symbolism of a bull, they were worshiping the being that today we represent as a being with hoofs and horns and a tail and a pitchfork. Now, the pitchfork in the earliest cylinders shows the lightning bolt wavy coming from the sky and then forking, as it often does, into three prongs. The ancient texts speak of the sun god as he who holdeth the lightning bolt in his fist. This weapon was gradually stylized into a common pitchfork. So that's where the devil got his pitchfork. It's he who holdeth the lightning bolt in his fist. Now, does Satan have anything to do with the lightning? Can anybody tell me? Does he or doesn't he? How many believe that he does have something to do with the lightning? Reread in the Spirit of Prophecy, Satan has studied the secrets of the laboratory of nature, and it is he who causes a destructive storm. Now, lightning is one part of a destructive storm. And we read in the Spirit of Prophecy that when at the time of Elijah, when the priests of Baal tried to bring fire down from heaven, that they normally, by praying to their God, were able, through his power, to bring lightning down from heaven. The reason why the devil is presented as a being with a pitchfork in his hand is because he actually controls the lightning bolt. He actually can produce lightning at will. Let me ask you this. What is one of the great deceptions that Satan is going to bring upon us in the last day? Not only is he going to come as Christ, but what's he going to bring down from heaven in the sight of men? Fire from heaven. There's your lightning bolt. Satan, because of his study of the laboratory of nature, the secrets of nature, can control the lightning bolt. And this is a symbol of his power. And any human being who goes around with a symbol of the lightning bolt in his hand is kind of stepping awful close to setting himself in the same position as Satan. And I can tell you that there are spiritual powers in foreign lands who do carry a staff in which there's the little fire knobs all around the edge. It's a coil, and that is the old Oriental symbol for the lightning bolt. The coil representing the roll of thunder from which comes the lightning bolt. And you see the fire knobs around the staff, on these medieval staffs in particular. Not only that, they say that the staff that they have in their own encyclopedia, the Catholic Encyclopedia, the staff probably does not represent the shepherd's crook, but is a symbol of power. They don't tell you what the symbol of power is. It's a symbol of the power to control the lightning bolt.
So, listeners, we learn from Merle Vance that the pitchfork that is used to represent Satan's power symbolizes his power to control the lightning bolt. We will study more about how weather control is associated with satanic worship in the next radio broadcast. Now, why does God allow people to be destroyed through disasters? We read in Isaiah chapter 24, verses 4 to 6. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore have the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Now, with reference to these Bible texts, let us read from page 372 of the Work of the Destroyer From the Present Truth, 12:24, by E.J. Wegener. In the beginning, God saw that all created nature, which he had made, was very good. This unqualified approval must have been fully deserved. To have been worthy of this expression of divine satisfaction, it must have been free from all natural convulsions and displays of destructive forces. In the day when the Creator looked upon the work of his hands and found it all very good, all the natural forces were in their proper equilibrium, and there was no possibility, under the then existing conditions, of their breaking forth in violent and disastrous exhibitions of their irresistible power. But sin made its appearance, and the evenly balanced adjustment of natural forces became more and more disturbed, until at last the earth was filled with violence. The earth was corrupt, and man was corrupt. At last, the disorder, moral and physical, culminated in that great storm of all the ages, in which the vast flood of waters swept the whole earth and destroyed all life except that of the one just man and those with him. This was a logical result. As in greater and greater degree, the laws which the Creator had established were ignored, defied, and violated, so it might be expected that his beneficent controlling influence over the forces of nature would be proportionally withdrawn. Such was the result, and the climax swept the whole world clean with the besom of destruction. For many years, Noah was occupied in building the ark, and in explaining its purpose to men and warning them to repent from their wickedness and escape the destruction which was to come. No doubt Noah was called a foolish and fanatical alarmist. But was he? Was he not, rather, the calmest-minded and clearest-headed man of his time? The event, though seemingly long delayed, proved him to have been wise and the others foolish. It is not unwise to depend upon the pure sure word of prophecy. It is not folly to repeat its warnings. Again, for thousands of years, man has corrupted himself and the earth. Through systematic disobedience to the law of God and obedience to Satan, he has caused the Creator and Preserver to withdraw more and more his beneficent influence and control, and has placed himself and all things in increasing degree under the control of the Destroyer, the Prince of the Power of the Air. And now, the most casual observer, if he only will, may realize the truth of this, which a writer upon this subject some years ago put with so much directness and force. Satan works with the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature, and he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. When he was suffered to afflict Job, how quickly flocks and herds, servants, houses, children were swept away, one trouble succeeding another as in a moment. It is God that shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the Destroyer. But the Christian world have shown contempt for the law of Jehovah, and the Lord will do just what he has declared that he would. He will withdraw his blessings from the earth and remove his protective care from those who are rebelling against his law and teaching and forcing others to do the same. Satan has control of all whom God does not especially guard. He will favor and prosper some in order to further his own designs, and he will bring trouble upon others and lead men to believe that it is God who has afflicted them. While appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Even now he is at work, in accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms, in tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes in every place and in a thousand forms. Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. Destruction will be upon both man and beast. So here, listeners, are the reasons why, sadly, we have the disasters that we do in this world. And so now, what lessons can we learn from this all today? We read in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 to 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 to 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Through the messages symbolized by three angels, the Lord Jesus Christ calls the whole of mankind back to worship him as the creator of the heavens and the earth. The Lord calls us to keep his commandments, as this is our whole duty. It is sin, the transgression of God's law, that has caused us to forfeit God's protection and to come under the power of the destroyer, Satan. If we desire any protection for ourselves and for our families and all that we own, then we need to be like Job and to fear God and to eschew evil. Note the final reward, listeners, that Job received for staying faithful to God, even though he was harassed by the devil. We'll find this in Job chapter 32, verses 12 to 17. It reads, So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keron-Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. What Satan had initially taken away from Job, after remaining faithful to God through all his trials and losses, the Lord restored to Job even more than he had before. This is not only a present promise, listeners, but it is also a promise that the righteous will realize in the future. Let this be an encouragement to all, that though the service of God initially brings losses, these losses are leading to the gains that the saints of God will inherit eternally in Christ and God in the future. Our present protection and prosperity and our future welfare can only be guaranteed if we give our hearts to Jesus and fear him and keep his commandments in accordance with his will. There are no other grounds for individual and national protection from evil than this. So let's have now another break, and we'll come back with our closing thoughts.
I see your power displayed. God, my Father, to whom the earth belongs, I'll write and I'll sing my songs along with heavenly throngs. Your love will shine in me for all the world to see. Oh God, from whom all blessings flow. Oh God, my Father, everything to you I owe. I'll see. Oh God, oh God, oh God, my Father. From now till eternity, I'll be in you and you in me. Someday your face I'll see. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God.
For our closing thoughts this evening, let us turn to the words that the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, has given to us to help us in these troublous times. We read in Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 to 8. And as he, this is Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus has warned us that disasters will increase as we draw near to the time of his second coming. And he has also instructed us as to how we are to live in these troublous times. We read in Matthew chapter 24, verses 43 to 51. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord have made ruler of his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he was not aware of. I shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Every Christian is a steward of God, listeners, entrusted with his goods. Ministers and laymen have a work committed to them as individuals. All who are connected by faith with our Lord Jesus Christ have a ministry to perform. Those who do not take their position on the Lord's side ought to without delay, for they will have to give an account of themselves to God. Christ paid a ransom for them as verily as for every professed Christian. If they despise the gift, the question will be asked, Who have bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently sent forth, crucified among you? Listeners, the storms that we see in nature are a reflection of the storms that there are in human relationships and lives. Sin and rebellion against God's word is rooted in men's hearts and minds. Satan is being allowed access to the human heart rather than our loving Saviour and God. Families, therefore, are broken and separated, and sorrow and sadness are the result. But this need not be. Let every church member carefully consider his responsibilities and look himself in the face. Become acquainted with yourself. Urge home upon your own heart that you are not to seek to make yourself a speciality for effect, for praise, but a speciality in seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Inquire seriously, am I faithful? First, be a most faithful steward over yourself. Search your own heart and often compare it with the great mirror of the Word of God. Until tried and searched of God, you will be approved of him, not having your own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Strengthened by his might in the inner man, you will be accepted as a vessel unto honor. And so, as we continue over the next few weeks with our series called The Prince of the Power of the Air, let us remember that the main reason that these radio programs are being broadcast is to help us to be ready for Jesus' second coming. So listeners, let us now pray to close this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord, for your truth. And I pray, Lord, that the message this evening, Lord, has reached the hearts of the people. Help us all to understand that it is Satan that's the destroyer, and that, Lord, that in your mercy and in your grace, you've sent your word and you've sent us warnings to teach us, Lord, that if we rebel against you and sin against you, then your protective hand is taken away and sadly we will be left to the destroyer. Lord, I thank you in your mercy for still preserving our lives. I thank you for preserving the lives of the people in Jamaica, Lord, in Cuba and Haiti. And I pray, Lord, that even though so many homes have been broken and so many possessions have been taken away, I pray that the people would realize, Lord, that their lives are still being preserved and that they still have time to repent and to be converted, that their sins may be blotted out at the time of refreshing. Have mercy upon them, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. We pray you will still give us more time to rebuild our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we will this day rededicate our lives to you so that we can be ready for your eternal kingdom. So, Lord, I thank you for these things, and I pray that the things we failed to ask for, that they'll be granted in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you would like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org. You can also listen to and download our radio program podcasts at https://voice-in-the-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. On next week's program, we will continue with part two of this series of radio broadcasts called The Prince of the Power of the Air. Well, that's it for tonight's radio broadcast. Until next week, listeners, good night and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.